Welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Matthew Rowland. On behalf of Pastor Joe and Nancy, our founding pastors, we want to welcome you here today, whether you're with us in person for the first time or if you're watching online. We are thrilled to have you today. And it's my honor and privilege to really bring a very special treat for you today. See, a couple of weeks ago, we finished up, or more recently than that, we finished up a preaching workshop, and we put some of our young, tremendous, amazing leaders through the gauntlet. And what you're going to get to see today is part of the fruit of that session. So they're not necessarily the best, because they're all amazing, but these are the ones we felt like, you know, the Holy Spirit highlighted these three because they have a word from the Lord for us today. Now, as I like to say, not everything you're going to hear is for every single person, but there's something. If you believe by faith that there is something that God has for each and every one of us today. So listen with the ears of the Spirit, with a faith that God's going to touch and move on your heart today. So with that said, I want to introduce you to our three preachers. Today it's 3 by 10, three preachers with passion on purpose. Three preachers with passion on purpose. So our first speaker today is Yannick Land. Yannick is married to the wonderful Maddie. Yannick and Maddie lead our youth ministry faithfully, and they have a little mascot. His name is Titus. We call him Tito. He should be called Firecracker because he's got this amazing red hair, and he just learned to run. So he's about just under 2 years old. He runs around the campus like he owns it, as it should be. And he is the mascot, but he's soon to be joined by another sidekick coming this fall. Congratulations to Yannick and Maddie, welcoming baby number two. And Yannick has a very special place in my heart because I took him as a little boy to camp many, many seasons. He grew up in this church with his family. He's one of 10. I have 10. So that's special to me for many reasons. But Yannick, after getting his degree at SMU, started his real estate business and got back to Trinity as quick as he could. And he has a real heart to serve and reach the youth. Most Christians in America come to know the Lord before they turn 20 years old. So Yannick and Maddie and their team are right there on the front line of ministry, reaching the lost, adding people to the kingdom. What they do is very, very important. And he's going to be sharing with us why he's passionate about reaching the next generation. After Yannick, you're going to hear from April Mondragon. She is one of our many anointed and talented She's one of our many anointed and talented worship leaders at Trinity. She's got worship in her DNA. Her mom and dad are worship pastors. So she grew up just being saturated in the presence of the Lord, and she carries that on to this day. She's a graduate of TWU, but more recently, she's a graduate into becoming a fiancé because that guy right there, I don't know if you noticed or not, but he stepped it up about 10 or 11 times this morning because he knew his new fiance would be watching him from the crowd. So he brought his A game, and brother, it was fire. It was lit. Excellent job, Kevin. So these guys are getting married soon, but we asked April to share, why are you passionate for worship? Why should we be passionate for worship? So she's got a very anointed word to share with us. And then bringing us home was my buddy Cameron Steele. Cameron and Caitlin showed up at this church when we had a 5 o'clock service many, many, many years ago, and God has changed and touched their lives since that moment. They're the proud parents of Jackson and Hudson, and she and he are expecting another one before the end of the year as well. So we're thrilled for them. We're excited for them, and Cameron's going to be sharing his passion for service. You know, Cameron runs one of the largest teams that we have here, with our camera operators and our video operators and our graphic designers and our lighting designers. This team does a phenomenal job for us in front of and behind the scenes. And Cameron is the leader of that team. He gets why it's important that people are plugged in and serving in their passion. So it's a real privilege to have all these guys here, guys and lady here. And I want to say this about Cameron too. He just recently finished his fifth year. He's not going anywhere, but he celebrated his fifth year on staff at Trinity. So give it up for Cameron. Are you guys ready to hear the word this morning from these amazing preachers? Well, try to put a smile on your face, give him a yes and an amen, and let's welcome Yannick Land to the stage to bring us a word.
Thank you, Pastor Matthew, for those kind words. And yes, as Pastor Matthew said, my name is Yannick Land, and I have the privilege, while I work a regular job, I have the privilege of serving you guys as Trinity's youth director, and it is an awesome, awesome job. So, how many of you remember being 13?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so 13, right? 13 was a really awesome year for me. It was 2010, and the iPhone had just come out 2 years earlier. And yeah, it was an exciting time. I had saved up money from birthdays, Christmases. I was mowing lawns for people to get one of those iPod Touches that had come up because those are awesome. They're really cool. But what I didn't realize was that this was going to be a watershed moment in my life, that I would never go again for more than a day or two at a time without one of these on my person. You see, for the past 4,000 to 6,000 years, there have only been a few inventions that have radically changed the way that we interact with one another, one of which was writing. Without writing, we wouldn't have the letters that the apostles and disciples wrote that formulate the New Testament that we use today.
That's right.
But two of these inventions have come in the last 50 years. Wow. The first being the advent of the internet, and the last 15 years, the advent of the smartphone. You see, this is significant because instead of going out into the world to learn about science, culture, how to interact with people, sometimes, you know, how to learn about God, we brought it into our hands, and we brought it into the hands of every 13-year-old. You see, you were 13 once, but you weren't 13 in our world today.
That's right.
And this is why I'm passionate about serving with the youth. Youth are under attack now more than they have ever been at any period of time. And what this means is that we need to have a shift in how we are approaching this problem, from trying to hide them from it to empowering them and enabling them through discipleship, by preparing them through discipleship. So I think it's important to pause here, though, and say that these, you know, these are awesome tools. I wouldn't be able to get to church without my maps every day. You know, I'm not good with it. With these things, we're able to communicate across the world, and you know, we can listen to sermons online. They're awesome tools. They're not evil by any means. But with anything good, the devil tries to turn and twist it for evil. So, if we're not careful. But I want to continue with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. That you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. For people will love only themselves and money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. And they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And this is what is going on in our day and age today.
Right.
Kids are getting attacked from all sides by attacks and temptations that are just bombarding them from every aspect of their lives. And technology is not going anywhere. It's going forward. It's not going backwards. It's implemented from kindergarten through higher education to the regular workforce. This is not something that we can avoid. You take away a phone, they're going to see it on TV. You take away TV, they're going to see it in their schools. You take them out of schools. I mean, there's no end to it. And so instead of trying to build up walls, they're going to have cracks and things are going to seep in over time. Instead, we need to be preparing them to walk alongside with the Holy Spirit as their guide instead of us. Because we are not going to be able to walk with them once they're adults. When they're adults, they're going to have to learn to stand on their own. And we can't be with them every step of the way. So what we need is a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift is a fundamental change in the way we approach a problem. And we need to be preparing them for the spiritual battles that lie ahead. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." This is what's going on with our youth. I mean, they're not being attacked physically nearly as often as they're being attacked in the spiritual warfare that's going on all throughout the world. And if a 13-year-old is going to have to make an adult-level maturity decision of whether they're going to follow God or follow the world, what they need is godly wisdom and godly instruction to build them up. I'm not saying that boundaries aren't good. They are. That's actually part of wisdom. Part of wisdom is to know when to put boundaries in. But the focus needs to be that we are going to prepare them to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And the way that we do that is through preparation, through discipleship.
That's right.
Teenagers are in one of the most crucial points of their lives. They are deciding what kind of men and women they're going to be in 3, 4, and 5 years from now. And they are the most passionate of all age groups. They're looking for causes to fight for. They're looking for something to stand for and something to get behind. And if it's not channeled in the right way, then the devil, again, is going to try to twist that good thing, that passion, and he's going to twist it into something evil. In the 1930s, there was a man that found millions of disenfranchised young men and women in Germany, and he took all that, channeled it, and turned it into the war machine of Nazi Germany, and it destroyed greater parts of Europe. Passion is a great thing, but if we don't channel in the right direction, it gets turned into something evil. And if the youths are going to have a cause, why not let it be the greatest cause of all, which is to follow our Lord Jesus and also to pour into the others around us and build them up and love people the way that we are called to love people. So, and the way that we are called to do this is through discipleship. This is the Great Commission. Jesus gave us one task when he left: go forth and make disciples. Paul did just this by discipling Timothy. He walked with Timothy on his missionary journeys. He had 20 plus years of discipleship. These letters are a continuation of that discipleship. He walked with them physically and spiritually, pouring into him on a daily basis for years at a time. And this is what we are called to do. These youth are our church's Timothys. These youth need disciplers that are going to go and do it. And who is a better example? Who's a better person that could disciple them than somebody is out there that you and I that are out there in the workforce? We're showing them that you can follow God while working in a secular workplace, that we can be in the world but not of the world. Right. This is what the youth need to see. Yeah. So what they need, again, is godly instruction, godly examples of men and women who are already navigating the pitfalls of the world while working in it. So I want to conclude by reiterating that we need to recognize that they cannot be sheltered anymore completely, and that what we need to instead focus on them is armoring them and equipping them with the armor of God and wisdom and instruction on how to be godly, and the way that we do that is through discipleship. What our society needs, what our church needs, and what these youth need is not political policies that are going to force morality on them, but godly men and women that are going to stand in the gap and raise them up to be taught godly wisdom and instruction in the Holy Scriptures. So I charge you again with the same charge that Jesus gave us, to go forth and make disciples. If you have children, they are your first disciples. They are your primary focus. If you don't have children, then think about young men and women that you might know that you can pour into. Men of God, find a young man that is earlier in his faith walk than you are. Women of God, find a young woman that is earlier in her faith walk than you are, and pour into them the way that Paul poured into Timothy. It's not easy. It takes commitment and perseverance, and it takes time and sacrifice. But this is what we are called to do. Because in the end times, when we hear our name called in the book of life and the book of deeds comes out, don't we also want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? This is what we are called to do. So I urge you to, again, find somebody to pour into. You will find that when you do this, you will not only strengthen your own relationship with God, but you will arm and equip these young men and women to fight in the spiritual battlegrounds they've been thrust into in our day and age. So again, go forth and find your Timothy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that we get to come here as a church and stand in the gap for these youth. God, even if we are not in a point in our lives where we have the ability to disciple somebody right now, God, I pray that for the youth that that need it, that you would find disciplers for each and every one of them. And God, I pray that even for us that we can't do it right here at this moment, that we would be in prayer and we would be supporting and building up these youth as they are under attack from all sides, that you would send angels to protect them. Yes. But God, that you would also help us find disciplers to channel this passion and to fuel it into a revival that is unparalleled in our day and age. We thank you for this and we honor you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Great job, Yannick. Aren't you glad Yannick and Maddie are leading our youth ministry today? That was a fantastic word, Yannick. Okay, April, your turn. You ready to preach at us? Come on, get it.
Last one. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. It's an honor to be here before you today. The title of my message is Worship is More Than a Sound. And the question that I was given is, why are you passionate about worship? So, I grew up as a daughter to a worship pastor, and because of that, I was able to join the worship team when I was 12 as a backup singer, and when I turned 15, I began to lead worship. From there, the Lord took me to a few other places to lead worship where I was exposed to different styles and different perspectives of worship, and that started to create an idea in my mind that worship equals music. But that's wrong. Worship equals honor, and it's how we honor the Lord that makes the difference, because God gave each and every one of us a unique passion. We each have a different gift that we get to present before the Lord, but before we do that, we must first present ourselves. So point one, worship is a lifestyle. I believe that the most important way that we get to honor the Lord is by living a life that pleases Him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." An example the Lord highlighted for me that talks about what Paul is referring to here can be found in Genesis chapter 22, where God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac. The thing about Isaac is that Abraham prayed and waited so long for him. And when the Lord finally gave Abraham Isaac, it was the son he loved the most, the son he was so passionate about. And despite of that, the Bible says that Abraham still woke up the next morning without complaining, and he took his son, he took the donkey and two of his servants to the place where God had ordained for the sacrifice to take place. When they arrived, the Bible says that Abraham told his two servants to wait here, the boy and I will go worship, and then we will come back. Notice that Abraham did not say, "The boy and I will go sacrifice and then we will come back." He used the word worship. This teaches us two things. First, to create a lifestyle of worship, we must be willing to sacrifice. When we sacrifice, when we surrender something to the Lord and we give it to Him, we're telling Him, "Father, let your will be done, not mine." And we're also telling Him that we love Him more than what He can give us. And that's the thing about gifts and passions. They do not belong to us. They were given to us by God, our Creator. And two, everything we do is worship. Here we see that Abraham's obedience was a form of worship unto the Lord. And likewise, our obedience can be a form of worship unto the Lord. When we give our tithes, how we love each other, that is a form of worship unto the Lord. So now that we've defined worship, let's talk about the power of worship. And here I am referring to worship as the singing of songs and the playing of instruments, what I'm most passionate about. If we go to Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26, they say about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Here we see Paul and Silas in an environment of bondage. And instead of them getting comfortable in the environment that they were in, they decided to shift it with worship, with one voice. And what happened? It says that all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains were broken. That's the power of worship. And I just want to make one thing clear. It wasn't Paul and Silas' worship alone that set the prisoners free. It was God through their worship who set the prisoners free. So when I say worship is power, I'm talking about the outcome or what is provoked by our unity in worship. And that's why I'm passionate about worship. Because worship moves the hand of God. Worship can shift atmosphere. Somebody's prayer can be answered during worship. Somebody can be healed during worship. When the presence of God dwells in a space, miracles can happen. God still does miracles. So I encourage you today, when you come to the house of the Lord, come ready to unite to the worship with us. Don't wait for us to lead you. Enter the gates with praise and thanksgiving. And If you haven't found your passion yet, we have people here and a membership class that can help you discover and grow in that passion. And when you find it, I encourage you to give it back to the Lord so that He can use you and what He's given you for His glory. Thank you.
Well done, April. Well done. See, now you know why we pick these young people. Which, by the way, you know, Jesus started His ministry at age 30. The average age of these three up here is 26. So they're right in the sweet spot. They're in the prime, and they've come ready with their passion and the purpose behind it to lead us and point us in the right direction. So with that said, we've got Cameron Steele rounding out the crew. Come on up here, Cameron. Bring us the word.
Well, good morning. As Pastor Matthew said, my name is Cameron, and I have the privilege of talking to you today about something that I am extremely passionate about, and that is serving. You see, serving for me started about 6 years ago when I got thrown into the front lines of serving here at Trinity Dallas. The department I was serving in would often leave me with bruises. I think I probably lost some hearing, but that is just the battlefield of children's ministry here at the church. But really, I did enjoy my time in the children's ministry, and there is no greater purpose than raising up the next generation. During my active duty there, I was able to develop some great relationships with some people. Somehow, Pastor Nancy found out that I was a DJ in my BC era, my before Christ era, and she reached out to Caitlin to see if I knew anybody that could come and help with some of the production needs. So I thought for a second, no one really came to mind. But then, you know, I said, you know, hey, I'd love the opportunity to serve in that capacity. And let me tell you, because of that one yes.
Yes.
Because of that one yes, my life has been forever changed. There are gifts that God revealed inside of me that I never knew that I had. There are talents that were ready to be unleashed. There are opportunities that I never would have had access to before. But before I get to talking about how serving is really going to maximize your life, I think it's important that we talk about the motives behind why we serve. You see, serving is less about what we do, and it's more about the heart behind why we do it. Like, if we are serving just to obtain something, then we're not really serving at all. We're making a transaction. If we're serving merely to receive recognition from someone, then when someone doesn't recognize us, what are we going to do? We're going to stop. Mm-hmm. Which is why it's important, I think, that we worship first, serve second. You see, when we are being filled with the awe and the wonder of God, meditating on just how amazing God is, receiving His love, His grace, His mercy for our lives, only then can we be effective at sharing that with other people. We have to realize that we serve first because Christ first served us. Christ didn't gain anything when He came. It says in the Bible that He came from heaven. At any second, He could have gone right back to heaven. Christ died for our sins, proving that God loves us. Let's look at 1 John 4:10 through 12. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God's love lives in us and His love is made complete. Let's jump down to verse 19. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Take a look at this diagram here. See, as we receive God's love, only then can we begin to extend that love to other people. And that, my friends, shows love back to God. So how do we love people? Let's look at John 3:18. Dear friends, let us not merely say we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions. In all my acts of service, love language, people said, amen. How do we love people? We serve them. And how are we to serve them? Let's look at Colossians 3, 23 through 24. Whatever you do, that is, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. Put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men. Friends, I want to tell you to be faithful in the little. I want you to think for just a second about a time that someone served you really, really well. You know, oftentimes for me, it's not because someone did something extraordinary, but a lot of the times it's just because they went a little bit further than I was expecting. Maybe they were a little more gracious with their words. They had a smile when I didn't expect them to have a smile. The other day, me and Caitlin went to Starbucks, and the cashier spent her own money to buy stickers, and she placed one of those stickers on the cup, and it just made my wife's whole day. It was amazing. Here I am trying to do the dishes and mow the lawn and just start putting stickers all over the place. My grandma is here today. She has served the same community, the same church, for more than 60 years. She is living proof that this can be done, and it can be done, that you can serve through all the mundane, early morning, tedious tasks. I mean, you think serving here is hard? Try blowing out 700 candles on your way out the door. No one does this better than young David, as gets anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. And while the oil is still dripping off of David, he gets asked to do the simple task of going to serve his brothers' lunch who were on the battlefield fighting against the Philistines. David didn't use the fact that he was anointed, but he humbled himself. And because David's one yes to something that seemed so insignificant, it put him into position to slay Goliath, creating one of the greatest victories known to man and one of the greatest bedtime stories I've ever told my boys. David's one yes not only delivered him from captivity, but it also set him up to be the next king of Israel. It catapulted his influence. I feel like today I'm here to tell you that nothing is insignificant to God. Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful in little will be faithful in much." I want to tell you, be faithful in little so God can trust you with more. Even when people don't recognize it, understand that God recognizes. Only God can give us the recognition, the purpose, and the love that we so desperately crave. It doesn't matter if people don't see it, because God sees it. And the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. The reason I think David was so faithful in such a little task is because the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. If we are going to be people who serve people well, we have to first worship him, serve second, be faithful in the little. And I want to challenge each and every one of you today. Say yes. Thank you.
Yes. So good. Come on, you can do better than that. They did a great job. Come on, everybody. Great job. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together, everybody. We're going to close out our service, but I tell you what, you know, the state of the church is good because God's got some young men and women that will say yes. Amen. The church is in good hands. What a privilege it's been to hear from some of these young leaders today. We are blessed with many, many young people in this church, and middle-aged people and old people that are full of passion and life and purpose and vision. It's necessary. It's necessary to know the purpose to which God has called you and to be passionate about it. Because Jesus knew where he was going, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord propelled him through the sufferings, the pain, the cross, the grave. The joy of the Lord propelled him, because he knew he was going to redeem all mankind. In the church today, in this audience today, we know there's people here. You know what your purpose is. You're walking in passion. We celebrate that with you. You represent what these three stand for. But we also want to be aware that in the church today, there's people right in this audience watching online that The well has become dry. You don't have the passion you once did. You've forgotten the purpose to which God's called you to. It is what it is. It's a season you're in. But today, by faith, can be a moment where you step out of that season into a new season of passion, knowing what your purpose is. How can we fix that? It's real simple. If you'll, by a step of faith, come up here and have one of these young leaders pray for you, God is going to help you get to the next step. So what I'd like to do is ask Cameron and Caitlin, if you guys will find a spot here on the front, and Yannick and Madison, Kevin and April, if you'll come up to the front. These three couples are ready, willing, and able to pray for you today. If the Lord is touching your heart and you know, maybe you know your purpose, but you don't have any passion, or maybe you don't know what God's called you to, you don't have to stay in that spot. These couples want to pray for you today. So what I'd like to do is I'll ask everyone to bow your heads, close your eyes with me today. I'm going to pray a general prayer. And then when I'm done, if you feel like, you know what, I need this, they've got something that I need for this stage in my life, and I want to encourage you to take a step of faith. And when we step in faith towards God, He will meet us. If you'll take a step of faith, have one of these leaders just lay hands on and pray for you, you'll be encouraged, you'll be blessed, and you'll be propelled on to the passion and purpose that God has called you and me to. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for the encouragement from these young leaders today, the importance of not only being passionate, but being passionate for the right thing, for the purpose to which you've created us. We know and thank you, God, for the many people that are walking that passion right now and walking in purpose. For those of us in the room today, we've become cold, dried up, tired, and stagnant. We acknowledge that before you, but we also say, God, help us. Help us get out of this spot. Help us to walk in passion and purpose, to live these days honorably before you with joy in our hearts, serving you all the way to the end. Help us today, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Now, don't go yet. If that's you, don't be ashamed or embarrassed. Take a step of faith. Have one of these leaders come pray for you today. And if it's not, go out with the joy of the Lord, walking in your purpose, full of passion for His sake. Amen. God bless you, everybody. We will see you next Sunday, if not before.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas.